Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning on this first Sunday in the month of August. I'm glad you decided to join us for worship this morning. We had a wonderful beginning to our day here at First Baptist Elon with our rooted prayer time at 9:20 in the sanctuary, followed by our Sunday school hour. Let me say it was good to see all our Sunday schools back in person this Sunday. For those this morning that are joining us via Facebook Live, we're thankful that you decided to join us with your friends and family. And just as those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning have their worship bulletins with them, I encourage you, if you're watching us virtually this morning, to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org, our website, and pull up our bulletin. Use that as a resource for today for our worship time. We're so glad to worship together. If you are a guest with us this morning, we want to welcome you. We're thankful that you decided to join us for worship this morning. And if you would, at some point during the worship service, just pull out one of those guest cards that are in the pews right in front of you and fill that out this morning so we can just have a record of your visit with you. And then as you leave the service later on this morning, drop it off in the offering plate so we can have a record of your visit. I hope everyone received the August newsletter that went out early this past week. If you did not, as you leave this morning on our foyer table, you can pick one of those up to see all the things that are coming up in the life of our church. But I did want to point a few of those out today. This afternoon, our children are going to a movie. They're going to go meet here at the church at 3 o'clock and then travel over to the local theater and go watch a movie. So families, if you're encouraged and want to go to that, make sure you talk to Gay and make sure you're here at 3 o'clock. Our youth will be meeting here at 5 o'clock for our intensity study. That'll be in the youth room tonight at 5. Also, just a reminder about our ongoing study that we've been doing throughout the entire summer, our study of the book of Hebrews. We picked that up this past week, and we will continue through the entire month of August, where we will wrap up our study of the book of Hebrews. Now, you might be thinking, well, I just got started with it. That's okay. If you go to our Facebook page, our church Facebook page, you can look at any of the sessions that we have done leading up to what we'll be covering this coming Thursday night at 6:30. We gather at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live for that study, and I hope you'll join me this week. If you look in your newsletter, you'll see what we'll be covering the upcoming weeks in that study. Also in the newsletter, you will see about our two collections that we have going on during the month of August. One of those collections actually wraps up tomorrow. As we know, our kids are getting ready to go back to school. They're not excited about that. I have two young boys who are not too happy about the return to school. But it is going to happen. It is inevitable. Well, that school, the back-to-school collection that the Alamance Chamber of Commerce does every year is going on right now. And the deadline to bring school items in is tomorrow. So if you have brought school supplies by already and dropped them in a box down here in the Communication Center or upstairs in the Fellowship Hall, thank you for doing that. If you have not and you still want to donate, make sure that you pick up those items either today or early tomorrow and swing them by the church. We want to make sure they get them in that collection. We'll be turning those boxes over to the Alamance Chamber of Commerce either late Monday or early Tuesday. Sometimes they come and pick them up from us. So we don't know what time they'll come. So if you bring them by early tomorrow morning, you can drop them off at our lower entrance down here. We'll make sure they get in that collection. But that wraps up on Monday. Our collection for the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation, the Cancer Center Food Pantry, continues this month. We started collecting during the month of July. We're continuing to collect during the month of August, and you can look at the items that are needed in your bulletin this morning, also in your newsletter. But to this morning, we have gathered together in this place to worship. We've gathered together to serve and honor God through the offering of worship that we bring this day. May the Spirit move in this place. May the Spirit move in you as we lift praise to God this morning. Let us sing praise to Him this day.
Great is the Lord. His greatness is unsearchable. Let's stand, let's sing. Here I am to worship.
this morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, reading verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now, this passage of Scripture from the Gospels talks about Jesus' second coming. We don't know when that is, but what we do know is this. God is in this place today, and we are going to encounter him. So my question is, did you come prepared this morning to encounter the Savior this day? Let's pray. God of light and love, you take delight in your creation. Ignite our spirits to worship you with sincerity. Illumine our minds with the truth of your word. Inspire our hearts to seek your treasure alone, that our hearts may be pure and our actions may be noble and just as we share your love. Through Jesus Christ, our hope and promise, we lift the prayer that he taught us to pray this day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to God while I live. And that comes from Psalms 104:33. Let's stand and let's sing together. I worship you, Almighty God, and I sing praises.
I worship you.
This morning for our ministry highlight, I want to share an opportunity of outreach that our church has coming up at the end of August. Who does not like a good cookout? Amen? We like hot dogs, we like hamburgers, we like gathering around, fellowshipping with those that we have gathered to eat. Hamburgers and hot dogs being cooked over the grill, there's just something about it that says summer, and there's something about it that says neighbors. And that's what we're going to do at the end of the month on Sunday night, August 28th. And I want you to go ahead and mark your calendar. As we all know, in the coming weeks, our community here at Elon, and specifically our community here right around First Baptist Elon, will be transforming as Elon students return for the fall semester. Our church building is literally surrounded by college students every single year. Houses back behind us, apartments across the way, the Danley Center right across the street. We are surrounded by college students, and we want to be something more than just a church building that sits in the middle of their neighborhood. We want to be their good neighbor. Everybody remember the Mr. Rogers? Let's be a good neighbor. That's what we're going to do this year. So on August 28th, that evening from 5 to 7 p.m., we're going to host a community block party. And what I mean by block is I mean the entire block. We are going to invite all the college students that live around us to have some free hot dogs and free hamburgers. Now, I had the opportunity to go on a college visitation tour this past week. And I don't know how many times the tour guide told us college students love free food. Amen? And we're going to provide free food for them on August 28th. Hot dogs, hamburgers, chips, drinks, homemade desserts, and the fixings. Of course, we'll have music and have some games as well. But we want to welcome them to our neighborhood. We want them to know who we are rather than just the building that sits at 621 East Haggard Avenue. So you might be asking, how will these students know when this cookout's happening? How will they know about it? How are we going to invite them to this cookout? How many will be coming? I've already had that question asked this morning. Kathy Hines asked this question this morning. The answer is, I have no idea. We don't know. It's a leap of faith. We're going to purchase a large banner. It's already in the process. And we're going to place it in the backfield a week and a half ahead of the cookout so they know that it's coming. Also, we're going to pass out little postcards. I'm not going to mail them to them. We're going to hand deliver them the week ahead of time and then again on that Sunday to all the college students in our community. But that's not all. You might have read my newsletter article this month, and if you did not, shame on you. But you have an opportunity to read it again. One of the partnerships we're going to have this year on the Elon University campus is with the Elon Cheer Squad. We are going to basically adopt them this entire year and do lots of things. Erlene and Debbie are going to meet with them this coming Friday for their welcome meal when they arrive on campus. But what we're going to do is this. We're going to invite them as well. We want everybody to come, so we need you to be a part of this exciting opportunity. What can you do? Here are a couple things, the ways that you can help. First, be in prayer for this opportunity, because that's what everything is. It all starts with prayer. Second, we need helpers to help to hand out those note cards. You and I are going to do this. Not just me, not just Gay, you and I are going to do this. So I need your help. If you're willing to do this, let me know. Third, we need helpers to help with the food and the music and the games. We've got one of our ministry teams that have already been talking about the food, but they're going to need help. Also, fourth, we need a few grill masters. I know some of you out there love being on the grill. We need your help. Also, we may need some extra grills on site, too, for that night. Finally, we need all of you here that evening. Well, you might be saying, well, that's just not my thing. This is something that we're being called to do as a congregation, to step outside of these walls. We need you to be there. They need to know, our neighbors need to know who you are. And this is the opportunity to do it. I hope you'll be in prayer. I hope you'll be there on the 28th. Let's be the church that God is challenging us to be. The one that loves, the one that welcomes, and the one that embraces all who come, not just inside these walls, but that come to our community. This is going to be exciting, and I hope you're looking forward to it, and I hope you've already marked your calendar for August 28th. At this time, I'll call on Leslie Cornell for our offertory prayer.
Please join me in prayer. God and Father of all, we praise you that all things which come to us are yours. We're thankful that you provide for us financially, you provide for us spiritually, and you provide for us in so many other ways. We cannot begin to list the ways you bless us. We know you don't need anything material from us, but you only desire our reverence. And so, dear Lord, we give you our tithes and offerings now, but more importantly, we give you our love and our esteem. Amen.
Praise team for our wonderful special music and leading in worship today. Before we encounter God's word this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer again at this time. Let's pray. Creator God, we listen to the heavens declare your glory every day. We likewise come and sing your glory in worship this morning. And yet sometimes, too often, our words fall short. Our very actions cause us to fail and fall on our faces. Lord, even if we appear foolish to the world, let us proclaim Christ crucified. May we burn with zeal for you this day, that we let nothing get in our way of telling others about Jesus the Christ. Lord, let your presence be in us, around us, not just this morning, but every day, breathing life into us so that we may do the work you have called us to do. Now let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, not just this day, but every day. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. And let me also say it's good to be back. I apologize for not being here last Sunday, and I've received lots of phone calls over the last week, lots of text messages and emails, and I thank you for that. As many of you know, I was a little under the weather. I say that under the weather, I guess that's not the right term. Many of you know I struggle and battle migraine headaches, and I am in the midst of changing medications and hopefully straightening out what's going on, but I have felt your prayers, I have felt your thoughts, and I'm thankful for all the well wishes over the last week, and I pray that I'm moving in the right direction. But that's why I was not here last Sunday morning, and it was just God working that Jonathan happened to be home last weekend visiting family, and fortunately I was able to call on him to fill in the pulpit last Sunday morning, so that was a blessing. And I'm thankful for Gay, who picked up a lot of the extra weight and pieces that needed to be done. So thank you, but thank you for your words and your well wishes. This morning, as we prepare to encounter God's Word, we're going to continue the summer sermon series I began way back in June, Summer in the Psalms, as we look today at part two of Psalm 19. 2 weeks ago, I began a look at this powerful wisdom song from King David. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first half, and today we're going to look at the last half. And just a reminder about this psalm, Psalm 19 specifically, it is a wisdom psalm written by King David. A wisdom psalm is a psalm that seeks to impart wisdom or knowledge to the individual who hears it, and that is what King David has done through penning this psalm. Psalm 19 definitely imparts wisdom, not just to believers so many years ago, but to us today. God is constantly revealing himself to us. And that is what Psalm 19 is all about. How does God reveal himself to us? 2 weeks ago, we talked about in verse 19, in chapter 19, the first couple verses, specifically verses 1 through 6, and we talked about what's called general revelation. General revelation is how God reveals himself to all humanity, to everyone. Everyone can see the character and nature of God. When we look at nature, when we look at the solar system, when we see the crashing waves of the ocean, when we see the majestic mountain range, when we see the sun setting and the jaw-dropping beautiful sky at night, these are examples of general revelation, because when we see it, we get to see a little glimpse of the character and nature of God. Everybody gets to see that. Everyone sees this revelation. That's general revelation. But if you remember, 2 weeks ago, I ended my sermon by saying, that's not all. That's not all. That's not the only way that God reveals himself to humanity. He also chooses to reveal himself in a specific and intimate way to individuals. That's what we're going to talk about today. That is special revelation. In Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10, specifically this morning, we see God revealing himself through special revelation. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. Who knows? You may have it marked from 2 weeks ago. I hope you don't. I hope you've flipped to some other passages since then. But if you haven't, that is okay. It's interesting. The famous Christian author and theologian C.S. Lewis said, said this about Psalm 19. I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter, which is the collection of 150 Psalms. He said, I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. That's powerful words. Coming from a theologian like C.S. Lewis talking about Psalm 19. However, I kind of think Mr. Lewis sold Psalm 19 a little short. Because I think that maybe Psalm 19 might be one of the greatest poems that has ever been composed in any language. It has the power, it has the rhythm, and in its words, we get to see who God is. It's powerful. Just as a reminder, in the first sermon 2 weeks ago, we talked about in verses 1 through 6, King David talking about how the world was created by God. And the world that God created, he revealed himself to us. We talked about the Goldilocks principle, how everything just happened to be perfectly right for humanity to exist on this earth. This morning, we're going to focus on the last half and talk about how the word God communicated to humanity reveals himself to us in a special, unique, intimate way. But before we read Psalm 19, 7 through 14 this morning, there's something I want to point out about this passage. It's something that gets lost in the English translation of Psalm 19. When translators move from translating from Hebrews into English, they sometimes can't quite capture what needs to be captured by the original written word. In Psalm 19, there's something that I want to point out this morning. In the very opening verses of Psalm 19, we see that the author, King David, uses the word El, E-L in Hebrew, when referring to God. In verses 1 through 6, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. If you look back at the Hebrew, he uses the word El to refer to God. Now, El is the generic name for God. It's a general term. It's not a specific term. It was used to talk about the one true God, but it was also used throughout the entire Old Testament to refer to any gods that were talked about when the Israelites were traveling through different lands. King David uses this name for God, El, in the first half of Psalm 19 to remind us through creation that all of us can know about God. But the knowledge we get about God through general revelation is not enough. It's just not enough. We need more. So what's next? That brings in the other verses. If you read the second half of Psalm 19, in verses 7, 8, and 9, we see a different name of God being used. He uses the name Yahweh, which is oftentimes translated Lord. This is the name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. We all remember that story. Moses is startled by the burning bush. He goes and talks to God in the burning bush. God tells him to go to the Israelites and go free his people. And Moses says, well, when I go, who am I to say is sending me? What is your name so I can tell them who you are? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now that's translated Yahweh. That's how they refer to it in Hebrew. However, the Jewish people don't pronounce that name. They don't say that name for fear of breaking the third commandment. Instead, whenever a Jewish rabbi comes to that word in Scripture, they will often replace it with the Hebrew word Hashem, which literally means the name, not the name itself, but the name in generic terms. In nearly every translation of the Bible, the translators give us a clue whenever the covenant name of God is being used. That's what is being used in the second half that we're going to talk about today. Now, you might be saying, well, David, you've gone way far off the scripture. But there's something we need to understand about the difference this day. Why did King David, in the first half of scripture, use one name for God, and in the second half, use a different name for God? How did Moses know God's name? How did Moses know the personal name of God? God told him. God shared his name in the burning bush, and that is special revelation. Not general revelation. Not everybody's had a burning bush experience. Moses did. And that was special revelation. And that's what we talk about today. Because special revelation is understanding the existence of God that not everybody can see, but that we get to experience and see in an intimate, special, unique way. That's what we're going to look at this morning. So reading Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14 this morning, the scripture will be on your screen behind you. Let's read about special revelation that you and I can have when we encounter God through his word. Starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. But by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As we focus on verses 7 through 14, and specifically 7 through 9 this morning, we notice a pattern that is important for this specific special revelation. First, King David uses a synonym given for God's word. That synonym is immediately followed by an attribute of God's word, which is ultimately followed by a benefit of following God's word. Now, we're going to get too wrapped up into these specific details and terms, the laws, the statutes, the precepts, because we've got to remember when King David is writing this psalm, he's writing this psalm as a poet. He's not writing this psalm as a theologian. Little did he realize that thousands of years later that people would be reading this psalm and seeing it theologically about how God is revealing himself. No, he wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about lifting up praise to God through a song. So what does it say? It says, beginning, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The law, commonly referred to in Scripture, oftentimes means the first five books of the Bible. That's the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, written by Moses. And what does he say about these five books? He said, it is perfect. That's a powerful word. We don't like to use perfect very often because none of us are perfect. But God is perfect. What's meant here is God's word is complete. It cannot be added to According to 2 Peter 1:3, God has given us everything required for life and godliness. While it does not give all the knowledge that we need, all the knowledge that it does give is perfect. And what is the benefit? It revives our soul. Ever need a soul revival? I've been there. I'm pretty sure you've been there before too. Maybe you're there this morning. Sometimes we need a revival. The King James Version translates this part of the verse as converting the soul. God's word revives us by assuring forgiveness and cleansing us from sin. It makes us revived, but he doesn't stop there. Next, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. In the Hebrew, the statutes often refer to the Ten Commandments. We know all the Ten Commandments, or if we don't, we know how to find them real quickly. We just type in Ten Commandments on our phone, and whoop, there they are. That's what we do. Again, don't get too caught up in these words, but remember, it says that God's statutes are trustworthy. They are sure. They are reliable. They are certain. We can trust them. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." So what's the benefit of the statutes? God's statutes, his word, makes wise the simple. We become wiser because of God's word. Did you ever think about that? God's word makes you smart. God's word makes you smart. And there's actually evidence that backs this up. I came across a fascinating statistic about how God makes his believers wise, specifically about the nation of Israel and Jewish people, God's chosen people. In his book, Two Nations Under God, Tom Doyle notes that of the 750 Nobel Prizes that were awarded between 1901 and 2006, a 105-year time span, of the Nobel Prizes that were given out during that time, 158 of them were given to Jewish individuals, people from Israel. Now you might be thinking, what's the big deal there? If you do the math, that's pretty incredible. That's 22% of all Nobel laureates came from Israel over a 105-year span. Israel has 12 million people in that tiny little country. You know what the population of North Carolina is? Anybody? 10.6 million. So it's pretty close. Basically, the population of Israel is similar to the population of North Carolina, and they have 22% of the Nobel laureates that have been over the last 105 years. Who invented the cell phone? People from Israel. Who invented the voicemail? People from Israel. What country has the highest number of scientists and technicians per capita? People from Israel. God makes the wise, makes the simple the wise. My point is that there is objective evidence to support the fact that God's word makes his people wise. The Jewish people have been the custodians of God's word for 4,000 years. God's word makes us wise. You want to be a better student in school? Read the Bible. It'll make you wise. You want to be smarter at work? Guess what? Read the Bible. It'll make you wise. You want to devote yourself to making a difference in the world? Read the Bible. It'll make you wise. Trust in God's word. James 1 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. The third repetition in Psalm 19 says this: the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Well, what is these precepts? When he talks about precepts, he's talking about God's covenant with his people. Think about all the promises that God has made you and me in his word. I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And the list goes on and on and on. These are just a few of the precepts. King David says in Psalm 19 that they are right. They are morally right. That means they are objective. They are practically right. That means they make common sense. They are universally right. That means they are absolute. So what's the benefit? He brings joy to the heart. God's word makes us happy. Don't we all want to be just a little bit happier? I know I do. God brings joy to the heart. What God's word really does for us is that it rejoices the heart. The one who knows God's word studies it, meditates it on day and night. Psalm 1 says it'll find true joy. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. In God's presence, there is a fullness of joy. But it doesn't stop there. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The Hebrew word for commandment is mitzvah. And you may have heard that word before. You know, the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah that the Jewish population practice for their young girls and young men when they come of age 12 or 13 years on. That's where that word comes from. These ceremonies are translated as a boy or a girl of the commandments. King David calls these commands radiant. They are pure. Because God himself is pure and holy, his holy word is also pure. A pure God cannot communicate in any other way. Think about a pure mountain stream flowing from a pure mountain lake. Pure to the last drop. That's what God's word is like. We can understand it. We can see through it clearly. Because it is pure, it enlightens our eyes. Being sons and daughters of God's commandments is the only thing that can bring light to our eyes. Now in verse 9, David breaks up the pattern a little bit. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Now, the fear of the Lord is not really a synonym for God's word. It's not talking about God's word here. However, it describes the awe and majesty of God himself. When we study and apply God's word, we will have an appropriate awe for who God is and what he's done. And David then returns back to the pattern, the ordinances of the Lord. You might have ever seen the bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? I saw it one time, it was years ago, I may have been back in college. And I thought about it for a second, and I said, that really isn't true. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's not true, because what it really should say is, God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. That's what God's word is. God's word is altogether righteous, and it wraps us up, and it envelops us, and it speaks to us. And it speaks to us in different ways. When we read our scripture passage, some of you may have had words or phrases that jumped out at you. But others of you had different words and phrases jump out at you. That's special revelation. Some of you, when we read this passage of Scripture, got an experience in your mind that you went through maybe this past week. Maybe it was last month. Maybe it was last year. That's special revelation. Some of you, when you read the scripture this morning, when we read it, didn't have any experience at all. Nothing came to mind. Nothing in scripture touched you this morning at this moment. But as you get in your car to drive to your lunch place or you drive home, something's going to hit you. That's special revelation. That's God's word moving in you. And when he does, and when it does, it is amazing. When we look out at the sky at night, and we see God revealing himself to humanity, all humanity, general revelation, by the way. When we see that happening, and we see the beauty of who God is and what he does for us, know that everybody sees it. But also know that God is speaking to you individually and directly. Maybe it's through his word. Maybe it's through another individual. Maybe it's through a song that you heard. Maybe it's through a relationship that you have. But God speaks. We just have to listen. And that is special revelation. I don't know what you're looking for right now. If you're looking for the general, it's there. If you're looking for the special, it's there too. But we have to open our ears and our eyes to God revealing himself. That's what David saw. And what did it lead him to do? Write Psalm 19. And we're thankful for that. But what is it leading you to do? Psalm 19 closes with these words. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Notice he didn't say, may the words of a mouth or the mouth. He said, mine. That's special revelation. What is God challenging you with today? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. I'll leave it there. God speaking. Let's pray. Father, I can't begin to imagine how many different ways that you speak to us on a daily basis. It may be through the beauty of your creation that everyone can see in it, or it may be in the small, quiet moments where we're just alone and you whisper in our ear. Father, you reveal yourself to us each and every day. You reveal yourself to us through your word that we're called to encounter and allow it to mold us and shape us and change us. Father, however you're revealing yourself to us, may we be aware, may we be changed, and may we be challenged to be the people and the persons that you want us to be. May we not hesitate. May we love. May we be transformed. And may we go. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn this morning, hymn number 312, softly and tenderly, maybe God is speaking to you for the first time today. Maybe you never encountered him in that intimate way through special revelation, but Psalm 19 spoke to you today. I'll be down front if that today is that day where you know that you're going to turn your life over to him. Or maybe you're just looking for a church family that seeks to be the genuine people of God, who just loves to gather to worship and to study God's word and to worship and praise him for who he is and to serve him in our community. Maybe First Baptist as Elon is here for you. I'll be down front and I'll talk to you about what it means to be a part of our body of believers. Or today just may be a day where God has shaken you and put you back on the path that he has for you. The altar is always open. It's not my altar, it's God's altar. Come to him. Speak to him. Be changed by him as we stand and sing our closing hymn. As you leave today, know that God is revealing himself to you. Open your eyes. Open your ears. See where he may be leading and make a difference in this world that needs to know him. Go in peace this morning.